Agricultural programming is made possible by Risk Management Commodities, with offices in Chalmers and Lafayette, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities provides commodities analysis and recommendations for business and agriculture throughout East Central Illinois and Western Indiana. 866-837-9027. The closing market report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report. It's the 13th day of August, 2008. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services. He's in Oakland, Illinois. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Matt Blaisdell of the Andersons at the Climbers facility in Delphi, Indiana. In today's agricultural news, John McCain at the Iowa State Fair has once again voiced his distaste for ethanol subsidies, and a bipartisan group of senators has written Secretary Schaefer urging him to allow farmers with fewer than 10 acres to aggregate their properties. Doing so would allow them to collect farm subsidies. Dave Dickey will be along in a moment with these and many more ag news stories. And then, in just 26 minutes, we'll talk with Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City. It all happens on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of WILL Public Radio from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from the Archer Daniels Midland Company. ADM, resourceful by nature.
In Chicago, on a Wednesday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. Nearby September wheat up the 60-cent limit at 8.50 and a quarter. December at 8.75 and a quarter, up 60. And the March at 8.99 and a half, up 60 cents. September corn, 5.39, 30 higher. December at 5.58 and a half, up 30 cents. And the March at 5.77 and three quarters, up 30. May futures 589, 30 cents higher. Soybeans August contract up 50 at 1270. September up the limit 70 higher at 1277 and a half, and the November at 1284 up 70 cents. January futures up the limit as well, 70 higher at 1301 and one half. August bean meal at $359.50, up $17.80. August bean oil at $52.29, up $2.46 for the day. August live cattle futures, $103.17 and a half, 40 cents higher. August feeders at $114 and a nickel, down $1.10. And the lean hogs are trading the August contract at $88.22 and a half at the end of the day, finished 27 and a half cents lower. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures are trading the nearby September contract at $117.15 a barrel. They're now up $14.14 a barrel. October futures at $115.85 were up $2.72. September ethanol futures at $223.50, 13.5 cents higher. And the natural gas is trading at $847.50, up 14.5 cents. The RBOB gasoline at $2.92.7 is 8.3 higher, and the September heating oil, that's diesel fuel, at $3.13 is up 5.2 for the day. September propane at $1.58 is down down 13 cents. And the crude oil, August gold futures at $825 even are now $16.80 higher on the afternoon. The Dow Jones Industrial Average at 11,561, down 81 points lower for the day. And the U.S. dollar at 76.21 is up 0.4 for the afternoon. The CRB index at 392.49 is up 7.36. Here's what the weather forecast looks like from our own Mike Sola. He says tonight across the two-state region, it'll be partly to mostly cloudy, a few scattered showers out there, isolated thunderstorms, mainly in the northern and central sections of Indiana. Lows will be between 57 and 62, with mid-60s near Lake Michigan. Tomorrow in northern and central sections, partly sunny, some scattered showers, a few thunderstorms likely during the afternoon. In the south will be partly to mostly sunny. Highs tomorrow will range from 74 in northern Indiana to 88 in southwestern Illinois. The extended forecast calls for a weather disturbance to be impacting parts of the area through the weekend. Scattered thunderstorms are likely in areas near the Mississippi River tomorrow and tomorrow night.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Time now to take a look at the futures markets. Paul Cooley of Adium Investor Services from Oakland, Illinois, joins us. Good afternoon to you, Paul.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Boy, this is a good day to talk about the marketplace. We've moved into lows. I suppose we can still call $5 corn lows, although that seems a bit strange. And now we're rallying up the limit today. What happened in Chicago?
Well, let's go to the energy market, and then we'll skip over to the grains. But the hurricane is suggested to move into the Gulf of Mexico on August the 26th, and there was an inventory report of actual gasoline supplies. And, of course, everybody is saying, why isn't gasoline prices dropping as much as crude oil prices are dropping? And obviously one reason is they were using up inventory. And they just haven't dropped it yet to the retail level yet. Hopefully that will occur. The second item is that we know that it's not very popular again to own agricultural stocks and be trading commodity futures and oil and crude corn, soybeans, gold and silver. And there's been massive liquidation in those stocks and also grains as well. And as a result of that, the grain markets have been beat up. We had our USDA crop production report, and basically it was as neutral, somewhat positive to the beans as you could ever make it. And finally, we've probably liquidated a lot or most of the open interest that was scared or short of cash, and it went down probably further than we thought, and as a result, we saw this good market action today that basically we don't like to talk about a V-bottom occurring in the fall of the year, but it was a V-bottom, and it really wasn't based on too much other than just major short covering. Maybe there's a feeling out there in parts of the Corn Belt that the crop isn't going towards 160 bushels to the acre like Informa. Maybe 155 is a pretty good number after all.
What's your feeling about this rally today? Will it continue into the evening hours tonight?
I think, are the option and futures markets feel that the corn market's going to open 4 to 5 higher and the soybean market 6 to 8 higher. And I don't see anything at the present time to indicate other than a slight rally, at least in the opening time frame.
So a once-and-done kind of event for the day then. Was there very much trade here?
Yes, quite a bit of trade, lots of volume. And I would say, pessimism is quite high. You see it, this continuing talk of it's bad to have investments in commodities. It's bad to own anything in agriculture. Even, John McCain beats up on us a little bit at the Iowa State Fair with his ethanol stand. So, everything's kind of negative at the present time, but prices are very cheap. And we still have this equation that augurs well for us that we do need, even with the 3 million acres supposedly drowned out in corn and soybean fields, we still need to plant 8 million more acres of corn and soybeans next year and just in order to meet demand. And that means we do have to buy acres, and the best guess is that we'll have to buy those acres somewhere between November and March, like we generally do every year.
That's the second time, by the way, I think, that John McCain stood up in Iowa and said he doesn't like ethanol subsidies. I'm surprised he's managed to do that in that state in particular.
I wish his handlers would tell him that that's not very popular in the Midwest. And in order to get elected president in that particular party, you've got to be a strong carrier of the Midwest vote. And the farm vote's still pretty important when it's all said and done.
Indeed. So let's take a little deeper look at where you think the market is headed. Once we got to these levels, I started asking the question, I think that Dan Zwicker had asked earlier on, which was that should you be managing risk to the upside at this point? Have markets dropped enough, even with a 70-cent increase in the soybeans and a limit move higher in the corn today? Would it be advisable to start to manage upside risk if you're looking at a carryover of just, 1.1 billion bushels or 113 or something along those lines next year?
I think that my customer asked me, what is probably the new trading range in December futures, and my hunch is it's going to be somewhere in that $5.40 to $6 area, I think, is a good trading range in the corn. I think the yield per acre on the corn is going to be somewhere in the 152 to 156 bushels per acre average, and the soybean prices I think are extremely cheap based on the basic idea that China is importing tons of beans. It's going to really be hard to get a lot of extra soybeans planted in South America based on the transportation costs and the cost of putting in the crop and getting that crop to market. So, the soybean situation is extremely small. We're getting a lot of people traveling in the Midwest. They're calling up and saying, hey, there's still a lot of corn tasseling in the Midwest. The bean crop looks short. So, we think that the soybean market, the best posture is probably hold and store for better prices down the road. But as far as a price explosion at this point in time, I think the market is going to have to see more production estimates before we get that kind of bravery in the marketplace.
All right, so hold and store both on corn and soybeans?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, that's the plan.
Unless you see $6 plus at harvest time on December corn, then 200 bushels times six isn't too bad a way to play the game.
Indeed. Thanks much.
Have a profitable day.
Hey, you too. Paul Cooley is with ADM Investor Services. Joins us on the Closing Market Report on Wednesday afternoons to take up the agricultural futures markets.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has helped farmers manage both marketing opportunities and risks through their analysis, advice, and action. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
The Director of Ag Programming at WILL is here now. He'll help us take a complete look at today's agricultural newscast. Don't forget to visit our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. And if you're in Mweekwa at the Lions Club tonight at 6 o'clock, Dave Dickey will be there along with an ag panelist. It's free. You should go.
In agricultural news, U.S. Commerce Secretary Carlos Gutierrez says the Bush administration will not put additional pressure on South Korea to expand its beef agreement to include U.S. cattle over 30 months of age. The announcement will likely not sit well with congressional members who have been vocal in their previous criticism of the Korean beef ban. Republican presidential candidate John McCain says while he believes in renewable fuels, he opposes ethanol subsidies. McCain, speaking at the Iowa State Fair, says he wants a broad range of efforts to develop wind, tidal, solar, and nuclear energy. McCain says he also supports cellulosic ethanol production and efforts to increase the number of flex fuel vehicles. A World Trade Organization report to member nations says WTO trade talks need to resume soon to build on existing compromises. The report, written by New Zealand Ambassador and Chair of Negotiations on Agriculture, Clifford Falconer, says, quote, each day that passes takes us further and further away from the preparedness to compromise that was certainly evident in that last week of July. The talks collapsed over differences between the U.S. and China and India over the conditions under which poor countries could raise tariffs. Nebraska Beef is recalling about 1.2 million pounds of meat that may be contaminated with E. coli. that beef products were produced on June 17th, June 24th, and July 8th under the brand name Coleman Natural. And a bipartisan group of senators wrote USDA Secretary Ed Schaefer yesterday, urging USDA to allow farmers with small acreages to aggregate them so they can qualify for farm subsidies. A USDA spokesperson says the agency will not allow such consolidations unless Congress passes a law requiring them. The congressional letter says it was their intent in the Farm Bill to allow aggregations. USDA spokesperson Keith Williams says, quote, Congress removed it to save $34 million over 5 years to claim a budget scoring goal. Then they added non-binding language contrary to the legislation. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming at WILL Public Radio for the Farming World. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. You can listen to those programs anytime you'd like on our website. The address is willag.org. While you're there, make sure you do two things. One is to hit the calendar link. You can find out when Dave Dickey and company will be out doing Ag Outlook panels across the states of Illinois and Indiana. Tonight, in fact, he's in Moquegua at the Lions Club at 6 o'clock. You can learn more about that on our website at willag.org. The other thing that you'll find there is our weekend newsletter. It's at willag.org. On the right-hand side of the page, it's a good one. It's a marketing newsletter, and it's free. Just hit subscribe at willag.org. Up next, in today's listener opinion forum, Shelby County Farm Bureau's Amy Rochka says it's time to push for a national comprehensive energy plan.
Gas prices are up a dollar on average over last year. If you use diesel fuel, you're paying 45% more per gallon this year, and the U.S. Department of Energy projects diesel prices will hover around $4.50 per gallon next year, too. Natural gas prices are expected to average nearly $12 per 1,000 cubic feet this year. Residential electric rates went up 5% nationally this year and will go up another 10% on average next year. Whether you are a farmer, a small business owner, or a consumer, each of us is paying the price for the lack of a coherent energy policy. The cost increases are sapping our ability to meet expenses and are affecting our standard of living. All of this points to the need for our elected leaders to expedite the development of energy resources anywhere in the United States. Farm Bureau members believe it's going to take more oil, natural gas, coal, nuclear energy, wind power, and agricultural-based renewable fuels to power our economy. Over the next several weeks, please join the Illinois Farm Bureau in contacting your congressmen and senators. Let them know a comprehensive energy plan is too important to wait until the next election. We need action on energy today. This is Amy Rochkus with the Shelby County Farm Bureau.
Amy Rochka's comments are her own and reflect her opinions. They do not necessarily reflect those of this station. We strongly urge listeners like you to become involved by sharing your views as well. To do so, just give us a call at 217-333-0850.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Boy, was it fun yesterday at the Illinois State Fairgrounds in Springfield broadcasting this program live, and I'm really looking forward now to the end of the month when Dave Dickey and I will make our way to Boone, Iowa to broadcast live from the Farm Progress Show site. We'll be in the Iowa State Extension tent broadcasting this program, but for a good portion of the day you can drop by the AgriGold tent and see one of those ag panels that you hear so much about on our radio stations. Dave will be there hosting those panels. They'll happen four times during the day at the AgriGold tent on the Farm Progress Show site, 206 Central Time. You can visit the Iowa State Extension site and see me do this program if you really like to do that. But most importantly, I'd like to see you there. That all happens at the end of the month. And then next week, of course, is Agronomy Day here on campus. And while we're not doing anything live from Agronomy Day because it ends before this program starts, I will be there dispatching the wagons out into the field for the tours for Agronomy Day next Thursday. Those tours will include one on bioenergy, one on continuous corn cropping, foliar fungicides, corn rootworm management, weed management, and SCN management. That is soybean cyst nematode management. The field tours kick off at 7. The last wagons head into the field during the noon hour. And speaking of the noon hour, there'll be some interesting things highlighted at that time. Seth Snyder from the Energy Systems Division of the Argonne National Laboratories will be on hand to discuss biomass systems and utilization and what that might mean to Illinois farmers in the region. But he's not the only one that will be on site for the day talking about bioenergy. Undersecretary Buchanan from USDA will be there as well. He's a tireless worker for energy and the proper place for research and education as it involves the land grant systems and energy development programs. That all happens at Agronomy Day next Thursday, not this one, but the following one, the 21st, on the South Farms right here in Urbana-Champaign, not too awfully far from the Assembly Hall. And as Dave Dickey would say, we hope to see you there.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Lernard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers in East Central Illinois. Lernard Seed Service provides customer services and agronomic information to help customers maximize profits. Lernard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
And joining us now for a look at the cash grain market is Matt Blaisdell. He's of the Anderson's Climbers facility in Delphi, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Matt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
What do you make of this big rally today in the board?
It was interesting. I guess, taking a couple of days here to digest the report and now maybe see if we actually believe what the USDA had to say on Monday, or excuse me, Tuesday, and see if that 155 number is really out there in the field or not.
155. And, you know, I'm wondering whether it matters if they believe 155 is there or not, or whether it's really just that the carryover was smaller than the increases that USDA gave in total crop productions. I think of an increase of maybe 250 million bushels in usage kept carryover fairly tight for next year.
It did, and I think it also helped that it seemed like throughout Kamai, say, there was a swift and a momentum. Maybe the bulls are starting to win back here with the crude being up around $4 last time I saw it, too.
Yeah, so we had wheat up, we had corn up, we had soybeans, all of them in different contracts for the limit higher. Will we have follow-through?
I think so. Synthetically, it looks like we're going to have a strong night session, you know, up 6 to 8 cents starting out the night. It seems like maybe just a shift here the next couple of days where the bulls are going to start beating the bears up a little bit.
And did basis follow, or is it going to follow this market higher?
You know, basis actually has started to improve here in the last week or not, but I don't think it will continue to improve. It seems like the corn processors around here are getting their needs met and are probably going to stay to the point, you know, that they'll buy corn at the same values that they can buy new corn here in, you know, 6 weeks to 2 months, but probably won't get much more at a premium than what they can buy new corn at.
What are your bids for the day?
Cash corn, 511. New crop corn, 513. Cash beans, 582. New crop, 1282.
Thanks much.
Thank you.
Matt Blaisdell is with the Andersons. He's at their Climbers facility in Delphi, Indiana. In just 2 minutes, we'll take a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast. Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated will join us then. I'm Todd Gleason.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Tom Rogers. Public transit in Champaign-Urbana is seeing its busiest time in 35 years. The CU Mass Transit District says ridership in June and July averaged 20% over the same months last year. Assistant Manager Tom Costello attributes it all to higher gas prices, prompting some to leave their cars for bus trips. Costello says service along the Green Line in the MTD will increase every 15 minutes starting next week. He also says the MTD doesn't foresee any fare hikes in the near future. Hospital expansion and park improvements will help change the face of an Urbana neighborhood over time. That's why the city is looking for neighbors' input as they put a plan together for the Crystal Lake neighborhood. An open house tonight will let residents discuss how a new building at Carl Foundation Hospital and new trails at Crystal Lake Park will affect their area. Urbana is also studying the future of the nearby University Avenue corridor. The open house is tonight at the Anita Purvis Nature Center. A physical education teacher in the Decatur schools is facing child pornography charges for allegedly possessing computer video files that include images of underage girls having sex. Scott Brown's charged with 5 counts of possessing child pornography with intent to disseminate. He's scheduled to be arraigned Friday. Decatur police say they arrested him at his home July 18th. Brown posted $2,000 bail and is out of jail. School officials say Brown is on paid leave. He was the girls' volleyball coach at MacArthur High School in Decatur before he resigned last year. A new report shows Illinois students in the class of 2008 averaged a composite score of 20.7 out of a possible 36 on the ACT college entrance exam. That's up from 20.5 for the class of 07. The ACT tests English, reading, math, and science. It's mandatory for all graduating students in Illinois. Urbana school officials say their students scored above the state average. And Indiana's Governor Mitch Daniels is reviving a contentious proposal to lease the Hoosier Lottery to a private operator. The governor says it's one option to pay for a proposed college scholarship program. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason. Joining us now for a look at the agricultural weather is Drew Lerner. He's the senior agricultural meteorologist at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Good afternoon to you, Drew.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Weather will be like what here in the Midwest?
Mud? No. That's on your side of the fence. It's not looking too bad. Actually, east of the Mississippi River, it's going to be pretty decent weather with some net drying expected over the next several days. But back on the west side of the Mississippi River, we've got a lot of rain coming up here over a several-day period. That will likely get started tomorrow in some of the far westernmost parts of the Corn Belt, but it probably won't reach eastern Iowa and eastern Missouri until we get a little bit later into the weekend. This is a large upper-level cutoff low-pressure system, and it's going to take its sweet time moving through the plains into the Midwest. Eventually, we'll see rain on the east side of the Mississippi River, but this will probably hold off until the work week next week. And by then, there may be some influence from yet another tropical cyclone coming towards the Atlantic coast of the U.S. and might actually start to build a high-pressure ridge over the eastern part of the country and may actually prevent this storm from ever getting into the eastern part of the country. So a lot of ifs and or buts here on this particular storm system, but the bottom line is the western Corn Belt will certainly see a lot of precipitation beginning tomorrow and continuing right on through the middle part of next week. The eastern belt, like I said, will probably see wait-and-see type attitude on the arrival of that storm. We will probably see net drying occur for several days across the eastern Corn Belt, and some of the topsoil will firm up fairly nicely, probably a little bit too much in some locations. Some increased crop stress may evolve in a few pockets, but our subsoil moisture is still favorable in a large portion of the eastern belt, so I don't expect any major leak problems. Our temperatures will be seasonably warm with 80s occurring on a regular basis in the eastern belt.
Can you check in on the Chinese corn crop for me, please?
Still looks very good across much of eastern China. I think right now China has had a lot of rain this summer, and there has been some flooding similar to what we had here in the States, but not quite as excessive and not as persistent as it was. So there's probably a little bit of corn in low-lying areas that might have got hurt, but the majority of that crop is in great shape, and we're seeing some net drying occurring right now in the northeast corner of China, and that is likely to firm up the ground a little bit and help to stimulate even better crop conditions in the far northeast where a big chunk of the crop is produced. So overall, I think it looks pretty darn good.
I've really forgotten, are they just slightly ahead of us or just slightly behind us in the normal growing season?
Most years they are slightly ahead of us.
That's what I was thinking.
Their crops should be a little bit better off than we are, and they did not have the kind of persistent and cool weather that we have encountered this year. So their crops should be moving along pretty well with the majority of that corn most likely in the filling and maturing stage at this point.
And any place else around the globe we should be looking in on?
Actually, it looks pretty decent in a lot of areas. There's some dryness right now building up into a new heat wave for the southeast corner of Europe and the western portions of the former Soviet Union. These areas will see 4 or 5 days of 90-degree-plus temperatures and no rain, so some of the unirrigated summer crops in that region may end up being a little bit stressed. On the other side of that particular fence, in northern Europe, there may be an abundance of precipitation that could threaten the quality of unharvested small grain crops during the coming week.
Drew, thanks much.
Have a good day.
Oh, you too. Drew Lerner is the senior agricultural meteorologist at World Weather Incorporated. He's based in Kansas City. And that is today's Closing Market Report. Please visit our website where you can access today's futures analysis, the cash grain analysis, and the weather anytime you'd like right there on demand. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. www.eastmidwestfarmers.org. You have a good afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason.